is Thursday, and that's May the 9th. And we're still moving right along, but as we do that today, we're sitting here waiting for the judge in Trump's trial to decide a couple of things. Number one, is he going to allow Donald Trump to take everything that Stormy Daniels said in front of that court, take it out of the courtroom in front of the public and attack her word for word for word? That would violate the gag order. So Trump is asking for permission to violate the gag order. So in the first place, it's pretty obvious he doesn't understand why they've got a gag order anyway. And the reason, of course, is because if he comes after Stormy Daniels, then he could come after other witnesses as well. And the whole idea is not to allow him to intimidate anybody so as to prevent the truth being told in the courtroom. I mean, the judge has got a responsibility to the trial. Everything needs to be told honestly. But Donald would like to take the Stormy Daniel information, the testimony, everything that Stormy Daniel said, he would like to take it out to the public and just go nuts on this lady. Well, one of the things that he could do if he really wanted to take her on is to simply go into the courtroom and testify. All he has to do is get on the stand and tell his story. Explain why she's lying. Explain why everything she says is untrue. Just go in the courtroom and do exactly what Stormy Daniels has just done. That's all he has to do. He's not being prevented from opening his mouth. He's just being prevented from opening his mouth on the street where he wouldn't be held to account because he would not be testifying under oath. Stormy Daniels testified under oath. So if Donald wants to have his response, it's got to be under oath. And that's where he's just somehow completely oblivious to what our system is about. He has no idea why we have this system in place in order to protect the court, the witnesses, the jurors. I mean, this is done for a reason. Now, he is protected too, no question about it. He is protected from having to number one, incriminate himself in the courtroom. So he's protected from that. He's also protected in another way, because if he says absolutely nothing, then of course, the complete responsibility for everything is on the prosecution. It's the prosecutors that have to prove their case. Donald can, in fact, go to sleep in the courtroom and wake up in another 3 weeks from now, and that's the end of it. He doesn't have to do anything. Now, he may wake up and find himself on the way to jail, but the point is, he just doesn't even have to watch it. He doesn't have to listen to the comments. He doesn't have to be engaged in any way. He is only required to be there That's all. He just has to sit in that courtroom until it's over because the judge told him that's what you have to do. But aside from any of that, there's no obligation on his part. His rights are fully protected. So why, if he is so authentic in everything he's saying, why can't he just go into the courtroom, get on the stand, and tell the truth? And of course, the answer is simple. He can't lie. That's what he's afraid of. He's afraid that he's going to have to tell a lie and that he might get caught. And anyway, his lawyers are probably telling him, don't do it. So there's a fear factor here that is essential to his existence. If he didn't have this fear factor, he could just walk into that courtroom and say anything, not worry about perjury, just take his chances. He's even afraid to do that. He says all the time, oh, I'm ready to testify. Always. It's sort of like infrastructure week. He's ready to testify at every minute, but the only problem is he never does it. Donald is scared and cornered. He wants to get permission from the judge to do what the judge has described as using what he's not allowed to say in the gag order as a sword. And the judge isn't going to allow him to do it. I can tell you that right now. That's just not going to be an issue. And Donald is not going to get away with this one. Now, the next thing he wants is a mistrial. Well, gee, isn't that cute? Look, this mistrial business is nothing but an attempt to establish a record for the appeal after Donald is convicted and sentenced. That's all this is. And you can be assured that the judge is going to come back, or maybe he's just going to do it right there on the bench, and he's going to say, sorry, we're not calling this a mistrial. You're not walking away. Donald says that all of the salacious testimony is so horrible that it makes him look like somebody that he's not, and it causes the jury to believe things about him that may prejudice them to find him guilty. That's his concern. Well, not really, but it's what he's saying. In any event, the judge isn't going to allow it. The judge is going to say, sorry, Charlie, let's move on. Now, the truth is, there are a couple of different arguments that are being made in the courtroom. I've already given you Donald's argument, which is purely that this salacious testimony, all about the details of what went on between him and Stormy Daniels, that all of that should have been kept out of the trial. Nobody should have known about any of this. All of this prejudices the jury against him, and it makes the trial, as he says, you know, a witch hunt and you know, something that is not acceptable under our system. And of course we know that it's the reverse, because as the prosecutors are saying, if they weren't able to put that information in front of the jury, how would the jury ever know what the reason was for why Donald created this scheme to pay Stormy Daniels and to keep the story out of the public arena? The jury has a right to know why all of this happened in the first place. And that's what Stormy Daniels was there to provide, information that reveals precisely why Donald was so fearful of allowing this information to get into the public. And as a result, Donald agreed to pay $130,000 in order to quiet her down, end the conversation. She could walk away with $130,000, not tell the story. Donald could get elected president. Everything would be fine. But not exactly fine, because in order to get this scheme to occur properly, it was critical, number one, for the books to be phonied. He couldn't allow the books to show what was happening. So naturally, he hid it. He made it look like he was just paying legal fees to Michael Cohen. Well, we know that's not true, because we know, first of all, that he paid $260,000 to Michael Cohen. That is, he paid Michael twice what he paid to Stormy Daniels, because Cohen got that money and then was in a tax position as a result. So that extra $130,000 pays the tax bill that Cohen is responsible for. This is also simple. None of this is tricking anybody. Okay, so that was essential. So the next thing is, they had to be sure that this story did not get into the public arena, especially just a few days before the election, because it was right at the time of the Hollywood Access tape. I'm sorry, Access Hollywood tape. And look, the end result would have been the end of Trump. At least he thinks, and a lot of people think it. And then the only other possibility is that he's gotten away with everything else. Maybe it wouldn't have been a problem. But Donald wasn't about to take the chance. We've already heard testimony where Donald told his people, deny, 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 period. That was the plan. Deny everything, kill the story, and be sure that there's not going to be one word out of any of the people. First of all, Karen McDougal also, but Stormy Daniels certainly. Look, the testimony of Stormy Daniels was so impressive today that the prosecution just announced that Karen McDougal isn't even going to say a word. She's out. She will not be introduced to the jury. Just not necessary. Because everything that was necessary to convince the jury that Donald was just tremendously fearful and that he had to do whatever he could to stop this story from getting to the public, all of that came from Stormy Daniels, and it was credible. If the prosecution didn't think it was credible, they wouldn't even allow this to go on. They would get McDougal in there, and they would finish it all up. But instead, they're saying, uh-uh, we're not going to do that. We're just going to move on with the case. We've made our point. And here's a better one. When they're saying, that is Donald's attorneys, that the testimony from Stormy Daniels was salacious, unnecessary, and prejudicial, the prosecution is saying, look, if we wanted to be prejudicial, if we wanted to really do this guy in, we have a story from Stormy Daniels that is so salacious, so far beyond what you've already heard, that we just didn't want to put it in there for exactly the reasons that you're bringing up. We were convinced, the prosecution says, that what we put in front of the court was exactly what the jurors needed to hear so that they would be in a position to understand exactly why Donald concocted this scheme in the first place and paid the money. That's the key. They provided enough information to allow that to be the conclusion that the jurors will draw from all of this. They have said, the prosecutors, that they will submit the rest of the story to the judge under seal, meaning nobody will ever see it. It'll just go to the judge. All the information, everything that Stormy Daniels was prepared to testify to, it would all go to the judge. The judge can read it, and the judge can then see how restrained the prosecutors really were. It's not going to matter. The judge understands the entire story, and he is going to rule, and he may have already ruled. I mean, we've been in here for 17 minutes. This is where we were as I walked into the studio. He was just being given the opinions of the attorneys from Donald Trump and being put in a position now where he could make a ruling and decide, number one, is this going to be a mistrial? It's not going to happen. And number two, can Donald Trump take all of this discussion from the courtroom and run wild in the public with it and start attacking Stormy Daniels? The judge is not going to allow it. The judge can't allow it. It's just not going to happen. So that's the end of it. This is going to continue to move towards the end of this trial, which, you know, depending on how you measure it, I mean, when we got into this week, they were saying maybe two more weeks to go. So maybe now one more week to go, or maybe a week and a half. But we're very close to the end of this trial. We're sitting here at May 9th, and we could have the trial over, the conviction in place, the sentencing finished, and Donald Trump on his way to jail by June 1st. It could be. Now, there's no question that there are always twists and turns that are possible at any time in a trial. But it's at this point, the twists and turns have all been against Donald. Everything is twisted against him. Everything is turned against him. The people who are telling the stories of what happened in that courtroom in the last 3 weeks, they're not looking at this as something very positive for Donald Trump. They're looking at this as something that is sending Donald on the way to a very serious conviction. Now, we all know that this case is not as serious as all the documents that were stolen at Mar-a-Lago. We know that this is not as serious as the attempt to overturn the election in Georgia, which is being overseen by Fannie Willis. But the truth is, this is serious. It is a felony. The man concocted a scheme to interfere with the election by preventing information from getting to the public, information which was being blocked first by fake records in his company, which is illegal, a misdemeanor, and then by using this scheme to prevent the information from ever reaching the public by killing the story, thereby creating an in-kind contribution to the campaign, which is far in excess of what's allowed. That illegal act, along with the faked books, makes all of this a felony and sets Donald Trump up for the end of the road. Now, let's talk about Mar-a-Lago. Because today, I had some conversation online with some people who I like a lot. They're very conservative, and I think they're completely wrong about everything. But we wrote back and forth to each other about different things having to do with Mar-a-Lago. Because the first thing they said, and I couldn't believe it, is they said that they were amazed, or maybe not even amazed, how the media was blocking the public from getting any information about the documents case. Well, that's not true. In fact, the media, who all of these people hate because Donald has convinced them that they're the enemy of the people, that media has told this story up and down, backward and forward. Every single individual act of the judge is reported to the public. Now, I keep saying here that if you're watching Fox, there's a good chance that you don't know any of this. Now, that's true. Fox is indeed blocking it, blocking everything. Now, that's for sure. You know that this whole scheme that the judge has come up with, which has to do with waiting for the jury to be empowered before being willing to hear again Donald's request for a mistrial. I mean, all of this is a clear-cut plan, which she has documented to the public. I mean, with her words, I mean, it's out there. She put it out there. She allowed them to hear this. She's telling Donald, come back later. And as soon as it's the point where double jeopardy has attached, that's when the jury has been empowered, then guess what? I can relook at this thing. Wink, wink. This has been the same problem that has existed from the beginning with Aileen Cannon. She has made mistake on top of mistake. She has issued rulings that are so bizarre. Well, in fact, so bizarre that twice now, Jack Smith has taken these rulings to the 11th District, which, by the way, is extraordinarily conservative, with Trump judges. And they have turned around and attacked Aileen Cannon and told her that what she did was wrong, that she can't do it, and so she has to reverse it all. So, you know, and I've shortcutted all that because this is all in detail to the public, exactly what she did and exactly what they said and the words that are being used all the time, on the various television programs is that the district court has excoriated Aileen Cannon twice. And in fact, there seems to be a lot of talk that if they were to do it again a third time, that might be the point where Jack Smith could come in, ask for a recusal, and end this whole thing with Aileen Cannon. Get her out of the picture. And, you know, there are a lot of different ways that people have described what's gone on here. For example, they have taken the media, lots of these cases, high profile, complicated public cases involving people who are very well known, and they've put these people on trial for their various alleged crimes. And from the moment that the case was brought to the court until the trial and then the convictions, which they were all convictions, one of them was Paul Manafort, the average was about 11 months. Well, guess what? Right now, we're at 11 months in the Mar-a-Lago documents case. We're right there. And at the 11-month mark, this is what Aileen Cannon has given us. In a court that is well known for pushing these trials to occur very quickly. You know, they call it the rocket docket because it's so fast. But in this case, after 11 months, Aileen Cannon has now told everybody, forget all the dates. This case has been put on indefinite hold. Indefinite. I mean, that's like saying, don't even think about this. Come back in another generation. Come back in another lifetime. Because she is doing everything she can to protect Donald Trump in a case that is now 11 months old, should have already gone to trial, could have been on the verge of either a decision or a decision could have already been concluded. And every media outlet, every credible media outlet, has told this story from beginning to end. Now, also, look at this. Please, think about this. I know it's difficult, but think about this. And by the way, you know, we're going to go do some business in a minute, but let me get my phone out here so that we can set up, because I could have set this up before, but I didn't. You can call me. You can call me and talk to me. 314-471-1968. That's 314-471-1968, and I will be happy to talk to you about all of this, every bit of it, the Stormy Daniels testimony today, the judges facing Trump's requests. I don't know what the final details on any of that have been. I haven't even opened up my phone to look, but I can tell you right now that it's obvious what that's going to be. But instead, what I want to talk about is the fact that we're looking at a case which a lot of people on the right, they want to compare it first to Joe Biden, for sure. And then they throw in Mike Pence, and they know there's some other people out there who have similarly ended their time in the White House with documents that they shouldn't have had. And when they do, every one of these people just gives it back. They don't argue. They don't play games. They just take the documents, pack them up, hand them to the FBI, and everybody moves on. And then when there have been investigations of this, you know what they've said. They've said, for example, that Joe Biden was an old man, so they didn't want to mess with him, and there was nothing there. Well, they sort of muddy it up with the old man thing, because the truth is they are saying that there's nothing there, but they don't want to really get into it. They say it's because he's an old man, but you know what? No one has suggested for a minute that Joe Biden lied about those documents. He took them for whatever reason. I don't know. They were in his garage. The government found out that the documents were there, and he gave back the documents. That's the end of it. He didn't lie once and say, I don't have them. He said, yeah, I've got them, and here, you can have them. Now, what did Donald do? Completely the opposite. Now, come on. You know he did this. First, he had his lawyers lie and say that he didn't have any documents. They did this. I mean, this is public record. They said no documents. That's a lie. Now, either Donald lied to them or Donald got them to lie for him. And that's pretty crazy, because if they would lie for him, I mean, they could ruin their entire lives for what? To protect Donald Trump? What are they, nuts? Well, at any rate, we know what happened. We know that Donald first tried to hide the documents. Then he told one of the people that works for him, this not a guy, that he should flood the room, ruin the documents so that no one will ever know what was in there. Are you kidding me? You think that's okay? I told this story just briefly online today to some of my friends who were saying these crazy things about how information was being hidden from the public. Well, they say that's all a lie. Not true. Donald never did any of this. Okay. Of course, we know he did. We know he did. At any rate, take it to the court. Let's have a trial, and we'll find out exactly what happened. Put everybody under oath, and let's get this thing over with. But instead, Aileen Cannon repeatedly sets this up in a way that would push this trial off first until after the election, and now into infinity. I mean, this indefinite hold is basically telling you we're not going to ever do this case. This is over. We're not doing it. Now, you know, Jack Smith is not going to take it. And by the way, the crazy part is, and you know, there are a lot of crazy stories that hit. One of the crazy stories was just a couple days ago, and I repeated it foolishly. And the story was, and by the way, okay, it's just hit here from Michael that the motion for a mistrial was in fact denied, which, you know, I've been telling you for 34 minutes that it was going to be denied, and it's denied. Well, of course, this is nonsense. Be interesting to read some of the details tonight, but it had to be. Thank you, Michael. Appreciate it. Now, there was no other way out of that. And at the same time, the other request was to go nuts on Stormy Daniels, and you knew that he wasn't going to allow that, so that's already been done too. No, he cannot go nuts on Stormy Daniels. But at any rate, here's the next thing. in the case in Mar-a-Lago, these people, Donald, the judge, his attorneys, they're all trying to cook up what essentially looks like a conspiracy to everybody. The only people who will not say this are the people who are normally from the Department of Justice, former prosecutors. They all say that they just don't want to go here and say it's a conspiracy with Donald because, first, they just don't like saying things like that, even though Donald says it every day. And secondly, they just don't even want to believe it. They don't even want to consider it because they trust our system so thoroughly. They just don't want to imagine that anybody could be like that. But I hate to tell you, this has gone way too far. It has got to be a deal between Aileen Cannon and Donald Trump, a deal which we will never, I'm assuming, be able to prove, but which someday Aileen Cannon, who could be in a lot of trouble, might be in a position to have to tell all. So that's possible too. So we may find out the answer. But if we find out, it's going to have to come from her because there's not going to be anybody else who knows. I'm sure that that's the way they've set up anything that they've done. But Aileen Cannon is doing everything to protect Donald. Everything. And like I said, Jack Smith, being an extremely smart man, he's going to do something. I can guarantee you he's going to do something. Okay, so let's see. The judge delayed to have hearings regarding Jack Smith. The document manifest doesn't match. Ethics and other issues. The document issues alone would qualify for a mistrial. This is coming from Danielle Correll. Well, Danielle, if you read the real news, not the fake news, all of this has been carefully discussed and documented, and everybody knows, number one, that nobody has messed with the documents. If anything, there was a lot of space in those documents, and some of the documents could have moved within the boxes. But in any event, if they moved, they didn't move in a way that would in any way harm Donald Trump's rights. No way. None of it. There's no suggestion by anybody credible that anything was done here that would cause a problem. Ethics and other issues? How about this ethics? How about the fact that Donald Trump stole nuclear secrets? Why? Why? Well, we can get back to that in a second. And Danielle, I'll comment on your other question. The Stormy case issue, jury is now tainted as a result of her testimony. No, the jury is not tainted. And that's not ever what they were saying anyway. They were saying that the jury was prejudiced to think that Donald Trump is a bad person by information about him, which was not necessary. But the problem is that Donald Trump is a bad person, and the judge is allowing the jury to find out that fact because that is the reason that this information has been blocked in the first place. That's why they came up with this crazy conspiracy to prevent the public from knowing the details, because Donald Trump is such a bad person and they didn't want the public to know the details of it. And it was necessary to provide that information to the jury so that they could understand the reason behind this scheme. And that's why the judge has said no mistrial. Okay. I've gone all the way to 40 minutes, that is 440. And so I really want to let you know that it's a great time to be thinking about dinner. I mean, I gave you an extra 10 minutes to think about it, and you're probably getting extremely hungry. So the answer is simple. All these other problems, hard to figure out sometimes, but where to go get something to eat? Wendy's. Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road, and that's in the valley, and the food is great. They've got smoked meats, wings, pizza. They've got hamburgers. They've got patty melts. But what they've really got that I love, I say it all the time, say it again. They've got the baby back ribs, and they've got delicious onion rings. So that's what you have to try. And the only way you can try it is to hop on down to 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. Now, at a later date coming up, you could go on to Defiance and get yourself a great meal from Wendy's in Defiance. And there it is, Wendy's Defiance Roadhouse. So I'm just telling you, Wendy's is great. The food is terrific. You can go to Chesterfield Valley. You can be able to go to Defiance. Any way you cut it, Ben's the man. His food is great. The restaurant is fabulous. You can't go wrong. Wendy's is for you. Now, if you're interested in jewelry, I mean, you've already eaten, so that's a good thing. Go to Eat First and then go see my friend Al at 4506 Hampton for Jewels on Hampton. And the reason that you might want to get something to eat first is so that you're nice and comfortable when you want to start buying jewelry, and you know, you want to bring your watch out there and get it fixed, or you got coins and you want to have the coins purchased at a great price by Jewels on Hampton. They are excellent designers, very creative, or you can just tell them what you want and they'll take care of that for you. So Jewels on Hampton is at 4506 Hampton. You'll love Al and AJ. Go see them. They will take great care of you. And finally, you know you can't go wrong if you get dressed like I am. You'll wear a nice suit, nice tie, and I mean a nice tie, silk ties, $5 at the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton on the corner of Forsyth and Central. I promise you, the suits are great. They've got shirts, they've got ties, they've got dress shoes if you want dress shoes. In the wintertime, they've got overcoats. In the summertime, they've got straw hats. But listen to this. The St. Louis Suit Company has been there for 29 years. They have always been great. They'll probably be there 29 more. You cannot beat them. And if you're either getting married or you're going to a wedding, you want to go to the St. Louis Suit Company because they're famous for helping people to get dressed for their weddings or other people's weddings too. It's the thing at the St. Louis Suit Company. Go check them out. Forsyth and Central in Clayton. Jay and Nick at the St. Louis Suit Company. Okay, what else have I got here? Danielle wants me to know that the jury is tainted because of prejudice. That's right. They are prejudiced to believe that Donald Trump messes with women in a very inappropriate way. Well, I'm sorry, that's not prejudice, that's factual. Now, beyond the fact that it's factual, it was information that had to get in so that the jury would understand why it was really important for Donald Trump to keep this information from going public. I mean, you would be causing the prosecutors a tremendous burden that they don't have a right to have put against them if you refuse to allow the jurors to understand why this case is even here in the first place. It's here because Donald Trump was scared out of his wits and figured that he'd better do something like kill the story if he was ever going to have a chance to get elected. So even Donald feared that this was going to hurt him because, as we know, he thought he could go down the street on Fifth Avenue and shoot people, but he didn't worry about that. But this one he worried about. And there's been testimony to that fact. We've had Hope Hicks tell us all about it. Deny, deny, deny. But look, it's all here in front of you now. Now, you can keep saying the jury is tainted. The jury is tainted. The jury is tainted. The jury is tainted. You can say it 100 different ways. It's not going to work. And actually, the top lawyers have already explained that there are judicial instructions that could be issued by the judge, and undoubtedly would be if necessary, to cure the very problem that you're all talking about in terms of a jury that is prejudiced. And all it would take, and I've heard it in detail, I'm no lawyer, but I can tell you I've heard it from the top legal people in the United States, that the judge can cure any problem if there were one, and there probably is not. Plus, remember what I said about 15, 20 minutes ago. The prosecutors have said, we have a story that could have been told that is so salacious and so incredible that we just didn't tell it all. We've held it back. And so if you don't believe us, what we'll do is we'll put it all under seal, give it to the judge, let the judge read this, and then the judge will know how restrained the prosecutors really have been. And everybody out here who's saying all of these things, things like Russiagate, unbelievable. Russiagate. Danielle, I got to tell you something. Donald Trump and his people violated the law 144 times and should be in jail already for what they've done with the Russians. And trust me, we are going to find out what they've done with the Russians. I know that everything that Joe Biden does, every time he takes a step, you see a conspiracy. But when Donald Trump brings the Russian press into the Oval Office, blocks the American press, high-fives the Russians, and starts turning over classified documents to the Russians, I mean, we know because we've seen it all. Oh, that's no problem. You're not worried about that. That's Russiagate. No, it's not. You know, they're not going to follow up anymore on the Russian business because they've got four other cases that are very provable, and they're taking those forward, and they're going to get Donald Trump some accountability. Yeah, it's going to happen. And in fact, I could tell you right now, and I said this before the trial even got this far. I said at the beginning that when this trial was over, Donald Trump would be on his way to jail. He'd be sentenced. Now, I'm going to say right now, clearly, from everything that has been said in testimony, from all the documentation in all of the transcripts, which are all out here, you can read them. There's no problem with it. You can get every word of what has been said in that courtroom. And you will know that Donald Trump is on his way to being convicted. Now, I mean, you've got a last hope that there's one person on that jury who is really a plant, and I don't believe that. But if you think that, you know, you're going to survive this, that's what you're going to need. Somebody planted on that jury who is going to ignore the facts, ignore the testimony, ignore the documents, and who is going to sit there and swear that Donald Trump is not guilty. Now, that's what you're going to have happen. And that's not even going to be so simple either, because you're going to have 11, well, 12, you're going to have 12 jurors, and 11 of them, if there were a plant, would be staring that person down and saying, you gotta be kidding. I mean, it would be a tremendous amount of pressure. I don't think anybody could take it. Not even somebody that was paid to do it. And I don't even believe that there's somebody that's paid. I mean, forget that. I mean, but that's what it would have to be. But I don't believe that anybody could withstand the pressure of 11 others having heard all of this evidence and sitting down in that jury room and saying, look, this is the case. And then the other person would have to have an answer. See, that's the thing. You would have to have an explanation. Even if you were a plant, you would have to have an explanation for why you did this. Because if you were a plant and you were in that jury room and you said, he's not guilty, and by the way, I'm not going to tell you why. I'm just going to sit here and say not guilty. I promise you, the story would go out. Everybody would know. It's just not possible. It's just not possible. Juries work. And everybody finds out exactly what's happening in the jury room. And it works right. If they all think he's guilty, it's going to be guilty. And that's just where it's going to go. Now, I got a couple more things on here. Let's see what Danielle's saying. I guess you're hard at work tonight, Danielle. Hey, Mark, did you know the dossier was in the Wall Street Journal in 2007? You know something? Honestly, forget all that. You haven't got a shot. If you go read, and I know you haven't, now you can do exactly what Donald Trump does. You can lie, but you know you haven't read the Mueller report. You have no idea what's in there. So since you haven't read it, you don't know. And if you don't know, then what are you talking about? Now, if you go read the 448-page Mueller report and then come back and we talk about the facts in the report, well, that's fine. But you will find yourself in a lot of trouble, I guarantee you. There's no way that you'll survive it, because you'll read what's in there and you will find out very quickly that Donald Trump did so many illegal things, so many, scary what he did. But nobody wants to deal with it. That is, the Justice Department doesn't want to prosecute, because people have already been convinced that there's not a word of truth there because of the lies that came from Bill Barr. He did a great job of basically tossing that report. But go read the report. Well, now Danielle says, yeah, juries work. How'd that work for O.J. Simpson? Simple answer. Very simple answer. And this is something that I hope you understand when I explain it. Juries have got to be convinced beyond all reasonable doubt before they can take a 12-0 position. That's what they're told to do. They're told that if you think that O.J. Simpson did it, but you have any doubt, he's got to be not guilty. And you're using O.J., which is fine. That's a great example. I'm happy to use that one. But here's a better one. There was a lady who had her child in the trunk of her car. She was in Florida. Child was dead. And she was prosecuted. The court heard all the stories. And everybody believed that she did it. I mean, the jury said, we think that she did it. But they also said this, that there was some possibility for doubt. There was a chance, based on the evidence, that maybe she didn't. And therefore, the jury that was sure that she killed her kid and put her kid in the trunk, they just weren't sure enough. And so they called her not guilty, even though they thought she did it. And see, that's the beauty of our system. Because we would rather that an innocent person be protected at all cost, so that even a guilty person could go free, simply to protect an innocent person. We don't want innocent people in jail. And unfortunately, we have sent innocent people to jail, not intentionally, but we've done it. But we try very hard not to do it. That is absolutely our desire as a country. Our legal system wants to prevent guilty people from going, innocent people. Lost my mind. We want to prevent innocent people from going to jail. And we're willing to take the chance that a guilty person can walk away. So OJ, who wrote that crazy book, If I Did It, This Is What I Would Have Done, probably. I agree with you. OJ probably did it. And I also agree with the jury that the man in the back, the child in the back of the car was put there by his mother, and that she did it. Probably. The jury thought so, but they didn't think so beyond a reasonable doubt. And that's our system. We protect people. Danielle writes, public figures framed a perfectly guilty man, didn't they? Since you don't know, jurors have come out since regarding his case to get the record straight because they no longer need to live in fear of repercussions. Those making decisions on that case made the decision for the jury to avoid another L.A. riot. Well, you know, Danielle, you can come up with every crazy idea in your head, and you have a right to it. But the fact is that we protect everybody, which means that if you're guilty, you might go free. But we want to be sure, if we can, that we protect innocent people. And that's the way we should do it. And that's why Donald is getting every break that nobody on the planet would get. Nobody would get it. Nobody would be treated like Donald, walking around the way he is. Okay. But I'm going to walk out of this studio. I'll be back tomorrow. Right now, St. Louis Suit Company, Wendy's, Jules on Hampton. This is Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen. Good night.